It's on the line. How are you, Joseph?
I'm great. Because I'm real excited to have learned that Europe is opening up for American travelers, and especially those that have been vaccinated. And we can finally do what we're supposed to be doing, go back to work and turn the world on to travel. And our next destination will, for the seventh time, we hope these arrangements hopefully will work. We've had six of them canceled, but we're scheduled to go to France the end of July.
That is such a long time coming. You had to cancel that, like, what, four times or three times?
Six times. It was canceled for us by airlines, and, you know, we had to cancel because for so long, the EU wouldn't allow Americans to come because of the way that the COVID situation was here. But they finally are scheduled to open to make it possible for people to come. There will be some restrictions, from what I understand. If you're vaccinated, that helps. If you're not, and there'll be other restrictions for you. But if you definitely have to have a test within 72 hours of your flight to Europe, and then of course. The United States has put in place a requirement that you have to have a test within 72 hours when you come back. So it's better than not going at all.
That's true. Now, you are going to be going with your crew, and, of course, you are vaccinated. Your wife Julie's vaccinated. But you're going to have other people that you have to take on this one because you're going to do some serious work on this one, right?
Well, we're scheduled. Let's see how that goes. We're scheduled to do a show on that would feature the Lot River in France and a boat. You rent the boat. It's called Le Boat, actually, the company that you rent a boat from, and you drive the boat yourself on the river. So we had done that, Julie and I, as part of a scouting trip a couple of years ago before the pandemic. And it was a wonderful trip, and so it looks like we're going to go back and shoot that experience. So, that's a wonderful thing. I recommend to everybody. This company actually has many itineraries throughout Europe's rivers. So you could do it in the Canal de Midi. You can do it in the Bordeaux area. You can do it in Belgium. You can do it, over near Switzerland. So you can do it in lots of different places. But this is the one that we're scheduled to do. And we will have our crew, as you mentioned. We're a crew of four. So Julie and I are vaccinated, and our crew is vaccinated.
Good.
If they weren't, we would not be able to go with them. They wouldn't be able to come with us. So, we're pretty... Julie particularly has been very, very careful and very, very strict. And during this last year and a half with me and anybody that we've had association with to keep everybody safe. And it's worked.
Yeah.
None of us have gotten ill, and we've managed to survive. And we're thankful and grateful for that. And while we also keep in mind and keep in our thoughts all the people who weren't as fortunate as we were and who have lost loved ones and are no longer with us because of this terrible thing. So it's going to be an exciting experience. You know, we did go to Costa Rica as a trial period. Costa Rica was one of the few countries that were allowing us to come in. The main problem we had was coming in and then having to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We can't obviously do that with a crew, and I don't think anybody wants to go to a country for a vacation and end up spending the money and the time 2 weeks in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of ruled out most countries, but Costa Rica was willing and allowed Americans to come in without quarantine. But you had a number of hoops you had to jump through. But once you jumped through those, you were able to be in the country.
So tell me about that trip. I'm very excited to hear, because I saw some pictures and it looked fascinating. You had to deal with quite a few things, including weather, weather's always a factor.
yes, of course.
So where did you go and where did you travel to in Costa Rica?
Well, we covered quite a bit of the country in the 2 weeks we were there. We were up in the rainforest just up from Manuel Antonio National Park, about an hour into the mountains there and up into a rainforest at a resort called Santa Juana. And it was a fabulous resort. I mean, rustic in spirit, but all the amenities and all the comforts that you could ever need, beautiful, and you saw them in the pictures that we took from there. So we started there, and we spent, throughout the trip, we spent 4 days and 3 nights in every location. And we had a spectacular time in every location. Every location had something different to offer us. For instance, at the Santa Juana, there was a waterfall you could walk to. There were marvelous hikes that you could partake in. And there was a number of and great food that they served there at the property itself. So you began your culinary experience in Costa Rica at that time. So there was a lot of wonderful things that you could do there. But that was completely different than the experiences we had in other places, because our next stop was down on the coast, and we were on the coast. Right straight down from the other property. In Manuel Antonio is the state, the national park there, which was spectacular. We stayed at a fabulous resort there as well, and the experience was completely different. I mean, it was much more of a tourist destination because of the national park. Obviously, the emphasis was beaches, not, being up in the woods and being on hikes and going to waterfalls and that kind of experience. So there was a completely different new experience for us. Another 4 days and three nights we stayed there. So, each place had something different to offer, and we were fortunate enough that we got to have a real taste of the country. After that, we went up to the volcano, Arenal Volcano, near the town of La Fortuna, and stayed at a property up there that was a spa property and had spas. They had hot thermal springs were on the property itself, but you could also go out and have natural experiences. We sat in a river where the river was hot and in hot thermal waters as well, and did a number of other experiences with the volcano as being the high point of that. And finally, we ended up at a hotel in a cloud forest up just outside of San Jose, the capital, a bit outside, about 2 hours outside. And that was another different kind of experience altogether. You were basically in this mystical cloud experience that was absolutely beautiful. And once again, all of the different properties that we stayed at, and this is possible, everybody will have that experience in Costa Rica. It's a very comfortable country to travel in. It's very safe. It's, for the most part, particularly if you're outside of the capital of San Jose, it's a very safe experience. It's a very varied, many different environments and many different experiences, and also everybody speaks English. You can use American dollars in most situations, so it's an extremely comfortable destination for Americans to be traveling in. So if you're worried, particularly at this time, if Julie was particularly, as I said, very strict about our COVID protections, and if you're worried about that, Costa Rica is certainly a place you can go to, and that shouldn't be something you need to concern yourself about.
So this was a wonderful experience. It sounds like you did a great thing, and I know a lot of people really trust you and your travel instincts. Did you determine these locations, or did you contact someone? Did you use tour guides? How did you develop your itinerary?
Yes, while I'm talking to you here, I am filtering through my information because we stayed with a group of properties. For the most part, we stayed with properties that had a number of different properties associated with the rainforest and the cloud forest, both parts of the same group. So we contacted them and got information on the different properties and what the possibilities were for us to what we could expect mm-hmm. in each of the different locations.
Mm-hmm.
In the cloud forest was called Los Angeles Cloud Forest Reserve,
huh.
And that was the hotel property there. It had a number of wonderful different hikes that you could take. And when I say cloud forest and rainforest, and then you have the beaches, and then you have the volcano. In each location, Costa Rica is so varied that each location there were different plants and different kinds of animals that made those environments their home. So that's why it was so distinctly different, the kinds of experiences you can have.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Cloud Forest Reserve, the property up there, was absolutely so remote. It was in the country, but it was in the countryside. You're surrounded mm-hmm. by farms and cows and farm animals. One of the things you can do at the property is called Villa Blanca, by the way, the Villa Blanca is the one that was the rainforest. I'm sorry. It's the Los Angeles Cloud Forest Reserve. That was the one that when you're at that property, you're able to, Villa Blanca was its name, Cloud Forest Hotel and Nature Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
When you were there, you really could have a sense of being away, but you were really surrounded by the life of the people in that area. So it was a kind of a place that it wasn't very far from other towns and other civilization. I mean, the main kinds of civilization, but you felt very remote and very in the kind of a cloud and the kind of a dream, and the clouds would come in and drift out, and like you mentioned, weather was part of the show because the Villa Blanca they had a weddings going on, and there was a very nice restaurant there, but your mood would change with the sun or the lack of sun, or like I say, being in this mystical cloud. And they promote the Villa Blanca as one of the places where families can come together, because there is this sense of being isolated from other people, so you can celebrate maybe not having been spending enough time with your family together, so you can use it for that kind of an opportunity. So it was quite an experience. And by the way, the hotel groups that I was trying to have find is Green Teak Hotels, and people can get information on the different properties I'm talking about at greenteakhotels.com. And they can see all the different properties. There's four different properties that this hotel group represents, and one of them is at the beach, and there's these other two, the rainforest and the cloud forest, and then way in the south they have yet another property which is even more remote, which we hope to be able to go to someday.
Now, did you find that by booking with Green Teak Hotels, that they helped you, once you got there, to figure out the best places to go, and they were basically your resource to decide what you were going to do around there then?
Yeah, they were very, very helpful. And by the way, the place in the rainforest is called Santa Juana.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Santa Juana and there's Villa Blanca, where the two hotels we stayed at. They have a couple of others, one called si como no, which means why not, or why of course, in Spanish. And then another property down in the way down in the south of Costa Rica. Yeah, they were very, very helpful, and of course, directing us to the kinds of things that we should do in each of the locations in order to get the most and get the best out of the location. Mm. And they gave us all the kind of inside information and that we would need to be able to come back with something exciting that I can write about, that we can feature in our publication, that I can do in my blogs. I did, and we have podcasts that I did in while we were in Costa Rica that are going to be airing soon. And so they were very instrumental in helping that. And they were also very instrumental in explaining to us some of the restrictions that we were going to be facing and that we had, and some of the things we had to do in order to come to Costa Rica. And in fact, at the Hotel Villa Blanca in the Cloud Forest, they helped set up the test that we had at one of the local town. They helped set up the test that we had to get 72 hours before we came back to be able to come back to the United States. So yes, they were extremely helpful, and I certainly would recommend any of my listeners and my viewers to go to Green Teak Hotels, greenteak.com, and check out their properties. And like I say, what's nice is that they're in. A lot of people go to one place, Guanacaste, the area up in kind of the northwest coast of Guanacaste of Costa Rica is famous for its big hotels and resorts also, and a lot of beach, and so people maybe go to one place and have that experience, and maybe that's fine for people if that's all they want, is to have a beach-like experience or to have an experience with the volcanoes and nature. That's fine, but we really appreciate the opportunity to see four different sides of Costa Rica. There's so much to see and do in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Birds are extraordinary, and the wildlife is extraordinary. In Manuel Antonio National Park, we saw sloths, and we saw toucans, and we saw, of course, all sorts of different kinds of monkeys. And they had snorkeling, so we saw fish, a beautiful fish. So in every location, there was something that was very important, connected to that particular environment. So it was really a thrill.
So, and was this about almost a 2-week trip then, or about a week and a half trip you took?
It was a 2-week trip.
It
took, we stayed 4 days, 3 nights in each location. And it's hard for me to tell people to stay less.
Yeah.
I know most people stay a week or maybe 10 days, and you have to do what you have to do. If you do, I would limit the places you go because there's so much to do. We were in the Cloud Forest when we were at Villa Blanca. They turned us on to a reserve where we were able to see the quetzal bird. I don't know if you know the quetzal bird from Guatemala and from Costa Rica. It's all in Central America. It's an amazing bird. I can only describe it to you as many, many colors, mostly green, but bright green. I'm talking about the male bird has an extraordinary long tail, and when it flies, its tail seems to wave in the air. It's hard for me to describe it and be clear of what a thrill it was to see that. But we saw that, and we were taken on a walk where we saw this amazing hawk with its young.
Yeah.
So we had those kinds of experience. Costa Rica is tremendous for those kinds of experience.
Yeah, I'm a bird person. I would love that, and I like walking and hiking, so I'd love that too. And you know what? I have never been to Costa Rica, and I know many people have been going to Mexico during this last year during COVID. Quite a few friends go to Mexico, but I have not heard of anyone else besides you going down to Costa Rica. Although, many people here in Hawaii have land down in Costa Rica. There was a time years ago where they were all for buying properties down there. And many people say it reminds them of Hawaii in lots of ways. And I, from hearing you, I also feel like the same thing here in Hawaii. You can go to different islands and have different experiences on each island. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the volcano, you have the rainforest, you have the same thing on the beaches, of course. But I just love this. What did you like? What did you fly down? Because I really respect your expertise. What did you choose to fly down there on? What airlines?
We took American Airlines down.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great. They had a nonstop flight that flew directly from Los Angeles down to San Jose, which is the capital. And then from there, we were able to rent a car. And I really recommend, although it can be a little hairy because the roads can be extremely rough from time to time. So, for instance, to go 7 kilometers took us 45 minutes.
Wow.
That's the kind of the way the road is in the remote areas. They have tremendous, freeway style roads to get you from one part of the country to the other part of the country, from the south, from the southern central part of the country and the beach areas up to the volcano, for instance, the Arenal volcano up in near La Fortuna. So that's fine if you're traveling in the major highways, but if you're doing some of the things we did, the road can be a little touchy. It can be dirt hard gravel, and you may have to forge a few little streams to get to your accommodation, or you may have a number of potholes on the road. So people, when they rent a car, a four-wheel drive is normally recommended.
Oh.
But having a car is really a good idea, because transportation, to take public transportation, so to speak, is doable, but not easy. And to get to any of these major areas, if you want to locate yourself in one area, and you could probably do okay if you flew in and then had transportation take you to Guanacaste, for instance, you could then get around by cabs or by local transportation if you're in a particular area. But if you're doing what we did, you really need to have your own car to do it. So we flew in to San Jose and then took a car and immediately went down to the Santa Juana property down near Manuel Antonio National Park and in the rainforest. And then after that is when we went to the beach area, to the coast. And at the hotel we stayed in there, by the way, was Hotel Makanda, which is excellently beautiful resort hotel, luxury resort hotel. And what we thought was quite interesting about this hotel is that it's built on a hillside, so you have these two spectacular views. And if you saw my pictures and that we posted, you saw these beautiful sunsets. And when you went to restaurants, you were always up looking down on the ocean. At the hotel Makanda, they have these little go-kart type of transportation that they will take you down to the beach. They will take you up to the restaurant and into your room, of course. So unless you really like to hike and hike up and down a hill, you do have that option there. So that's one of the things we really... And it's where we saw the toucans. They're sitting at breakfast. You just looked up in a tree, and there are these two toucans, these beautiful, colorful birds. I mean, what's going on here? What kind of a place is this? And it's not that Costa Rica isn't developed. Like you mentioned, there's quite a large U.S. population in Costa Rica, particularly in the villages and the towns near the capital of San Jose and in Guanacaste, where all the development is. So it's a pretty developed country to have such a wealth of wildlife. I mean, like 20% of the country is devoted to national parks or
Wow.
Parks or reserves, nationals or reserves, parks or reserves. That's an enormous amount of a small country to be devoted and be protected in that way. I think our percentage here in the United States is like, 10% at best of our country. Well, we have a huge country, but only 10% of it is devoted to preserves and to parks and to wildlife reserves. So for a small country to have made the choice to put so much of their country aside and protect it is quite impressive. They don't have an army. They haven't had an army since 1946. So they're not engaged in the kind of warfare that seems to be taking place from time to time, if not all the time, in Central America and South America.
Uh-huh.
And all the troubles. You had friends who went to Mexico. I love Mexico, but they're having an awful lot of problems these days keeping people safe.
Absolutely. Well, you're a people person, as we all know, and if people watch Travelscope, a lot of what we enjoy watching on Travelscope is your reactions and interactions that you have with people in the local community. Were you reacting and interacting mostly with people in the hotels, or where did you find your interaction most interesting?
We interacted with the people in the hotels, but no, you can't do that. I mean, the way you do it is to go out into the surroundings and meet people. I speak Spanish pretty well, fairly well, so that was a plus in the more remote areas, because when we ran into places where people were not speaking English or had difficulty speaking English to us, then it was very useful mm-hmm. for me to be able to speak Spanish with them. And of course, that opens so many doors. Of mm-hmm. course, you speak a person's language. That's why I always tell people to get a bit of the language before they go to a country, because that opens so many doors. Because you put people who see that you care about their culture, that you're trying to speak with them on their terms, and then they're more likely to make the effort to speak with you and to open up with you. So we stopped in at restaurants. We went to markets. Just walking on the beach and talk to people wherever we had the opportunity, of vendors or people at a restaurant sitting next to us, to engage the local population and to get a sense of what their life is like. In a place that is so popular like Costa Rica, and what interests me is also how pure or how authentic can people be in an environment where they're surrounded by tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that at the cloud forest at Villa Blanca and the rainforest at Santa Juana, the people that we met that lived in those areas, because they were remote areas, were absolutely totally genuine. We were their guests, so they were warm and welcoming. We're a guest in their country, but there was no sense of them having to do anything for us or be any certain way to please us or to, they lived their life and we were guests there,
mm-hmm.
and it was our job to walk softly and to let them know how our interest in them and in their country.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Now, I want to remind people they can go to your site. You have such a wealth of amazing videos and podcasts and interesting information on your Travelscope site. People
Great.
Can go. Did you post some of the pictures there from Costa Rica yet?
We're working on, we just got finished with the summer issue of our Travelscope magazine, which people can certainly go to at travelscope.net, and they'll find our magazine, our blogs, and our podcasts. And this issue, which we've been working on for a couple of months, features a travel close to home, which a lot of people will be doing, and it features San Luis Obispo, California, and our experience that we had there, which was completely different than being in Costa Rica, but also quite enjoyable, and a wine country and all the other things we did there. So that's in this present issue and is in the on the website now and our online publication, and our podcasts and our blogs are all featuring that destination. Next issue, we'll be working on our Costa Rica show and featuring the different kinds of things we did, the places we ate, the things we saw, and giving people tips and ideas and hopefully inspiring them to do their own Costa Rica.
And people should follow you on Facebook, because I love your little positive posts and pictures as well.
Julie works very hard to keep me looking good on Facebook.
She does a good job. Well, it's wonderful.
She's posting Facebook, our Twitter account, and also our Instagram account. They can follow us on any of those, and she does a great job of making it fun for our the people who go there and our visitors, the people who visit those sites.
Well, I can't wait to hear about your next adventure in France. And that wonderful trip that's finally going to come to be. So I'm very thrilled for you for that. It's always such a treat talking to you, Joseph. I thank
you. And you know, people can listen to me on your station.
Yes, absolutely. We love listening to your shows. They're unlike any other travel shows because you really have excerpts from things that are happening with people and sounds and things. So, yes. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Call your station and find out when they air.
Yeah, and thank you. And God bless. And you take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
And I have next.